You're listening to Clouser on Business. Thanks for coming back. I'm Clouser, your host. Glad you're with us today. Thanks for the feedback to kind thoughts on our last podcast titled Summer Days. Trust the story on Clouser didn't put you to sleep too soon. We're living in some wild times these days, and I know everyone's looking for another dollar of cash to keep in the bank. Cash is king for certain, just like fuel in a car. It's what keeps a business going. For businesses, one way to keep cash is to pay the minimum amount of taxes your business is subject to by the tax code. For most manufacturers, software companies, biotechs, and producers of products, there are tax credits available for research and development. We have with us today a gentleman who helps businesses determine if the business qualifies for these taxes, tax credits, and then helps the business accumulate the data and helps with the documentation to support the credit. As a reminder, Clouser on Business does not offer tax or legal advice. You should contact your own CPA or attorney for tax or legal advice. Our podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Well, with that out of the way, I'm pleased to introduce Tony Hanip of R&D Consulting to shed some light on the topic of these R&D tax credits. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Tony.
Thank you.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been doing this for 9 years. Have almost 100 clients here in Oregon, and every day is a new adventure for me.
Mm-hmm. What do you get the most fulfillment out of when you're working with your clients?
Well, Clouser, if you could take a look at my last name with the way it's spelled, you could tell that I'm from an immigrant family. And my father had just a seventh grade education. My mother had a fourth grade education, and they worked on factory floors. They were the people that couldn't speak English on the factory floors. They saved their money, put me through to college, and here I am, first generation American, working with factory owners. We took part of the American dream because of manufacturing. And this is a tax credit that actually incentivizes keeping manufacturing and other high-paying jobs in the United States. I'd like to keep the American dream alive, and I do that every day at work.
All right, that's very good. So business background at college, or what did you study at college?
I studied international business in college, and before I did this, I worked with U.S. manufacturers as a manufacturer's rep, actually integrating their processes with Japanese manufacturers. I actually was given Japanese incentives money first for a company that I ran before I ever explored U.S. incentives.
Yeah, so you got a bit of lean manufacturing background
It was called just-in-time manufacturing back then. It's still referred to as time.
Very good. Hey, well, give our listeners some background on the R&D tax credits. You know, how did they come about, and how are we dealing with them today?
Well, they started in 1981. They're not a new thing, but they're very different now than they were when they first came out. It used to be really for true R&D, but now it's for all kinds of activities that normal American companies do. The whole idea is to incentivize risk within a company to try new things in the creation of process, products, or software. And it's still very much a Fortune 1000 game. If you look at it back, the statistics of last year were almost $9 billion were credited back to U.S. companies. 100 multinationals took half of that. And less than 30,000 companies in the entire country are dividing the rest of it. And there should be a lot more companies that claim this credit.
Mm-hmm. Is it a size of the business is there a minimum revenue amount that a company should be doing to qualify?
Absolutely not. There are people out there writing iPhone apps that are taking advantage of this credit. The situation with the credit and why a lot of companies don't claim it, well, first of all, it's not that easy to do if that's something that you're not familiar with. There's some documentation and such, which is thankfully why I have a job.
Mm-hmm.
But a large problem is that the name R&D tax credit implies people in white lab coats.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be for true Nobel Prize stuff. Now, though, it's been spread out in such a way and expanded in so many ways that it really is for all kinds of things that companies do. It's the name is a misnomer. It's like tin can, no longer made out of tin. Carbon copies don't use carbon anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Tax credit for research and development, it's really for process improvement, product improvement, creation of products or processes or software. I like to call it the how-to can we tax credit, because anytime a company is saying, how can we do this? How do we do this? How can we make it less expensive, safer, more competitive? That's the kind of activities that this qualify for the R&D tax credit.
Uh-huh. So do you think that most businesses, management, and owners are aware that this tax credit is still out there and they can take advantage of it?
In my experience, I work with companies that are 50-plus years old that have never taken advantage of this tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for our listeners that might be unaware, explain how a tax credit is different than a business deduction.
So let's say you spend $100 on your employees that are doing things that qualify for this tax credit. That's a cost of doing business. They're going to get, whatever, 30-40% reduction off your taxes. The tax credit is above and beyond this. For that $100, you should expect about a $6 tax credit, bottom line, dollar-for-dollar reduction off your taxes.
Okay. And so when you're working with your clients, who are you working with there?
Well, typically we're introduced to companies by their CPAs. And CPAs don't really, most of them, the big four have teams that do what we do. But other CPA firms, they don't have engineers on staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're mostly a group of engineers. We have tax law experts in-house as well. But they'll send us in, and we don't do any CPA work. We're not out there competing for their business in any way. This is all we focus on, and so we work in conjunction with CPAs and company CFOs as well.
Right. So you're just for clarification, you're not in there trying to undermine the company CPA. You're actually working in tandem with them, and you know jointly you're going to be able to hopefully get some sort of credit.
Correct. We're not out bidding for compliance work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is all our company's done for 13 years.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the value that your company brings to the table. What's the benefits there of me having you come in and helping me?
Well, the benefit is that this is all that we do. When we do 90% of the work, your typical company, if they want to get a $30,000 tax credit, they might spend $20,000 getting it.
Mm-hmm.
With us, that's all we do. We're very we hone in on this. We take care of all the paperwork. We defend the credit if it's ever questioned by the IRS, and we leave companies to do what they're good at doing.
Yeah. So, what type of qualifying activities are we looking for here?
Well, basically, when we come in, the activities that qualify are creation or improvement of products. Creation or improvement of process, creation or improvement of software. And we just started last month working with a company that does some of all. Basically, they're a remediation company. They clean polluted soil. So they've created a machine that also takes software. It's hardware software where they, in essence, cook the soil, suck out the contaminants. But what they're really doing is improving a process of how to clean the soil. So some companies have all three activities all in once.
Okay. And so where's the money really found that is behind these credits?
Well, typically about 80% or more of the money that we find in an organization is buried within the salaries of individuals performing activities that qualify. For example, you might have an engineering team where a lot of their salaries will qualify. With that same company, you might have a business developer doing technical sales. Part of their salaries will qualify. You might have people building prototypes. Part of their salaries will qualify. The second place where we find it is in 1099 expenses. For example, if you're sending something out to a test lab or you're having some blueprints done, or if you're paying a patent attorney to prosecute a patent, all these costs will qualify. I should say all of them, but a lot of these costs will qualify for the tax credit. The third thing is in materials consumed in producing a prototype. So that could be metal within a machine. We've had circumstances when a food processor was actually wasted cookie dough trying to get a cookie made right.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter if these activities are domestically done versus offshore?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't matter if they're successful or not. The failed ones count as well as the successful ones. but it's a U.S. tax credit. These need to be done on U.S. soil. Great question.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, great. So where actually is the cash then value, the cash value to the business owner?
Well, let's say we find $500,000 of people's salary that qualify. They might be, the whole payroll might be $2 million, but we find that a quarter that qualifies. We find another $200,000 in expenses that they're paying, test labs, patent attorneys, whatever it might be externally. And we're finding another $300,000 just to make an even million out of prototype costs, materials. So that million, a company would expect about a $60,000 bottom line tax reduction from their taxes with the R&D tax credit.
And that's, and again, just to repeat what we said earlier, that's because the tax credit is a reduction of a tax liability, not a business deduction.
Correct. That's above and beyond the deduction they're already taking for those expenses.
Right. Okay. So you come in and I've got Clouser Manufacturing or something going, and you want to help me. So what kind of time am I going to have in it? And am I going to be pulling my hair out and all that kind of stuff as you help me?
Well, I think some people pull their hair out no matter what, so I can't guarantee that. But
I have to say I've got a lot of it, so I've got hair.
We do the bulk of the work. We do 90% of the work. Most of it's done off-site. We gather some technical documentation and financials before we come in. We create a model. But your typical organization, say 50 to 200 people, would expect a disruption of about 3 days. That'd be two or three of us on site. We're not stopping you in your tracks. We're basically getting an understanding of the credit out to the C-level folks. And then most of the time we're spending interviewing one-on-one people, an hour here, 20 minutes here. Usually it's about 15 minutes per person, just to get the map to flow out, to document and create this methodology to capture these activities for the current year and for future years. So our promise to our clients is that in future years, it's no more than 15 to 30 minutes per person involved in R&D per year.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound too painful.
No, it's not. It's a gift that keeps on giving year after year. It's an annuity. But it does take some effort the first year.
Yeah. So do you have kind of a feather in your cap client that you've helped in the past without giving any names or details?
It's most of our clients are pretty boring and people wouldn't know them. I'm happy to share some of the clients that have let us use their names. We've got Dark Horse Comics for anyone that's probably seen a bunch of their movies. They're quite popular. Dave's Killer Bread, if you go to Costco, you can find it. Bushwhacker, if you have an outdoor recreation vehicle. I can't mention any of the financials of these companies,
sure,
but most of the ones we work with, they're make widgets.
Yeah.
We work with a lot of metal benders, and it's easy to say to a metal bender that if you have for every million in sales that your company has, you should expect $2,000 to $4,000 in a tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. It's like adding two jobs for free.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've been doing this. I've always worried about it going away because it would get extended for 1 year and then sunset and keep. It was kind of a political pinball.
Mm-hmm.
But starting in 2016, it's been made permanent. And the reason being is I think the Treasury Department's realizing, well, Canada has one, Taiwan has one, Korea, all these countries are fighting for IP. So it's been made permanent. It's also been strengthened in many ways. Used to be that something called the alternative minimum tax would stop people and they'd have to pay it with tax credits or without.
Mm-hmm.
Now the research and development tax credit starting in 2016 will lower that tax credit for people in AMT.
Mm-hmm.
Also what's great about it is for startups it can now be used for companies that certainly now aren't paying federal taxes, may never pay federal tax. Starting in 2017, Q1, they can use the tax credits from 2016 to lower their payroll taxes. That's right away a 7 or 8% increase in cash flow for these cash-starved companies.
All right, very good. So in summary, if I own a manufacturing concern or maybe a service or software company, what should I be wanting to be considering here tonight or tomorrow about the activities I have in my company that might qualify?
Well, I would say the way I look at it is I've got the R&D glasses on, and I go into a 7-Eleven, and I was there 5 years ago, and it's different. I think every single company that's successful, that's surviving right now, is taking some kind of risk to do something different. They're all having activities that qualify. The thing is, though, 95% of the companies don't have enough that's worth pursuing. Gotcha. So your typical successful American business that's making something, that's making software, that's a food processor, these are the companies that should be benefiting from this credit.
All right, very good. Hey, well, thanks, Tony, for coming by today and sharing on this topic and giving us a great explanation.
My pleasure.
You can find out more about Tony and R&D Consulting at www.rndcredits.com and at clouseronbusiness.com. Hey, well, hey, thanks for coming back. Hope this was interesting, and I hope we're able to help some business owners out there. But we're out of time for today. All for now. You've been listening to Clouser on Business.